I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 547. I've made my threat. I hope Logitech's listening. This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm
That's good.
I'm shaking.
You know. Hey, I woke up and I'm breathing, so I'm ahead of the game.
That's right. Well, I mean, if you woke up dead, that'd be...
I mean, that would be very difficult. I mean, not difficult. It's very easy to wake up dead. But, you know, all the stuff that comes after that's kind of out there. So,
well, you know, the person who wakes up dead doesn't really wake up. Everyone else wakes up to that person dead, though.
I mean, it might be an awakening of a kind. I don't know. I haven't been there. But what I can tell you is I woke up and I continued to breathe. So I won the game.
Ah! I don't want to think about the game, and now I've lost it. You're an asshole.
And you've lost the game. I know, but you still love me.
Anyway,
and we still love games and nerdy stuff. So we have a bunch of that to talk about on the podcast today. Got some. I mean, I'm just gonna jump in because I've been talking with a few people about this whole fiasco this week. And there's a lot of anger, disappointment, and for some people, mostly myself, just kind of looking at and going, duh, told you. So, are you familiar with the Gamer Gauntlet Cruise, Panda?
No, I am not.
Okay, so this cruise was promoted earlier in the year as a gamer-themed cruise, so similar in fashion to... the Mac cruise, you know, the geek cruises that were all Mac focused. So This Week in Tech, Leo Laporte is usually on them, and they would go out for 3 or 4 days. Typically, it was either a Royal Caribbean or Carnival cruise ship that would do like a Bahamas tour for a few days. So you'd get like a 4-day, 3-night deal, but it would be themed. So it wouldn't just be the random people on the boat, but you would be on a boat full of people that were into Mac tech, or you'd be on a boat like the Joko Cruise, full of nerds who love Jonathan Coulton music and have nerdy things around that. Gamer Gauntlet was a cruise that was designed to be focused around gaming and gaming community. So they were going to have some esports tournaments on there. Red Bull was one of their sponsors. Money Matches, you know, the company that lets you bet money on esports, was one of the sponsors. Supposedly, they were going to have a bunch of notable people in the industry on the boat. Quite a few of our friends were actually going to be there. So, you know, Brittany Bronnerd was going, Ron Workman was going, Hip Hop Gamer, you know, and they were going to announce some other featured people. A couple of developers were supposed to be going. And so it looked like a pretty decent cruise. It was going to be a Royal Caribbean ship doing the Bahamas. And I just thought that it was a little weird, the timing of when they put tickets out for sale. But I was like, hey, that's all right. And I was even like trying to find ways, because it was a cruise that was going to happen in October, to try and find ways, you know, for me to be able to actually afford to do this and do it with my husband. And about 2 months ago, I saw an update where they had put out some messages on social, and I had signed up for their email newsletter, that they had payment plans so you could put money down every month if you couldn't pay for the whole cruise right off the gate. And I was like, whoa, big flag, red flag on the play. right? Mm-hmm. So if you've ever done a cruise before,
which we have in our family,
you know that there is absolutely no way that you could do a payment plan for your lodging on the ship. They require all the funds to book your space. There's no payment plans. You can't lay away a room on a cruise ship. Because they want to be able to know exactly who's coming, who's going to be in what rooms, and whatnot. So that was like my first flag of like, okay, well, how does that exactly work? Because the cruise ship requires full payment for the room. So if I book on a payment plan, are you guys covering it? If I decide halfway through that I'm not going to finish off the payments and you just keep my money because the cruise ship is going to have already booked that room. So I started getting a little leery, and I started looking at some of, like, the merchandise that they had for sale. So there were all these, like, gamer gauntlet shirts and things that you could buy and, like, have your gamer tag put on them or whatever for, like, hundreds of dollars. And I'm like, it's a bit high markup. So I started to become very suspicious of the cruise. In the back of my mind, I still let it go because there's so many people that I knew personally that were going on the cruise as influencers and whatnot that, you know, I know they always do their homework. So I'm like, maybe it's not. Maybe I'm just being petty. Maybe they figured out a way to do this, whatever. And so I just kind of let it go. I stopped focusing on trying to go on the cruise. And I was just like, yeah, there's no way it's going to happen. But, you know, I'm sure that it'll be successful and they'll have another one next year. And, you know, maybe that's something we can work towards, you know, Esh doing. Well, earlier this week, the owner of Money Matches called one of the people founding the Gamer Gauntlet Cruise because their site went down all of a sudden with just a message that said, we'll be back. And the guy periscoped the call with Chris, who is the lead organizer on the Gamer Gauntlet Cruise. And if you haven't watched it, you need to watch it. Like, I'm not a fan of Money Matches, but this guy basically calls this guy out on his bullshit because, as it turns out, actually, they had not done any of the things that they needed to do to actually procure the cruise ship for that cruise. So it very quickly turned into, it's a fire festival type of shit show. So in order to actually book a ship, in order to do like a themed cruise, you actually have to work out a deal almost a year in advance with the cruise line and guarantee up front with a deposit for filling the ship if you're going to do the themed ship. And so in many cases, that's anywhere between $190,000 to $490,000, depending upon what the size of the ship is. And you have to pay that up front to actually book the ship for that cruise. And then it's on you to actually fill up those rooms.
Oh my God. See, no.
So you got to fill those rooms to make your deposit back. Then it's whatever you're charging on top of that for like events or whatever bullshit you're doing on the ship. That's where you make your money, right? So the guy calls him out. He's like, look, I talked to C-level executives at Royal Caribbean. You did not procure this ship. We're 90 days out from when this cruise is supposed to happen. They say they have no deal whatsoever on the plate with you. So, like, what the fuck? I already know that this sponsor pulled out, this sponsor pulled out. This sponsor was never actually a sponsor.
Oh, my God.
What is going on, Chris? And this guy is, like, backpedaling. He's like, let me get so-and-so on the phone, and let me get so-and-so on the phone. And he's like, who the hell are they? They're not from Royal Caribbean, so why do I want to talk to them? They can verify with you that this is a cruise. It is happening. Like, blah, blah, blah. We're working on getting the LLCs. Like, why are you working on making an LLC now? We're 90 days out from this thing. That should have been done before. And the LLC should have worked out booking this cruise before. Like, it doesn't matter if you have an LLC now, dude. What are you fucking talking about? And this guy just gets, like, really silent and then, like, starts backpedaling. He's like, no, let me get blah, 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 Susan on the phone, and she's from 360, whatever. And he's like, so, hold on. Who the fuck is she? Like, why do I want to talk to her? Like, what? She can verify. Dude, I can get Susan on the phone right now. Hold on. Susan, can you verify that we're doing this cruise? He's like, that could be anybody. He's like, no, you can look on the website and see that she's been doing this for 20 years. I don't care what she's been doing for 20 years. What I care about is that my company's name is on the hook right now. We're 90 days out. Like, dude, right. Let me just tell you. Let me just be very clear. We're out. You violated our contract through fraud. Okay, so get your lawyers ready. If you keep coming after me, like, I will end you. You don't want to mess with me. Okay? Like, just stop. Just stop. Buddy, I suggest for you right now that you get good lawyers and you start refunding people their money right now.
Right now.
Or it's going to be bad for you. It's going to be bad for you. It's like, all right, you have a good day. And he, like, hangs up and he's like, yeah, I'm going to do a live stream about this later, but, like, this is such bullshit. And no sooner I saw that video did I see some of our friends be like, okay, so that cruise thing that I was talking about and promoting is not happening. So, yeah, don't do that. And I was just like,
how quickly the tides have turned, sis.
Yeah, you know, and I just, like, I felt bad because I'm like, you know, there's just too many people trying to get over on people, I feel like, right now. Going, you know, with Fyre Festival and, you know, now Gamer Gauntlet, you know, trying to flex, you know, celebrity names and whatnot and make something out of nothing. Like, if you're not used to and you haven't done this kind of event before, event planning is not easy, okay? You can't just be like, oh yeah, everybody just bought seats on this ship. They're thinking they're going to be on a ship full of fucking gamers, and because you didn't do what you were supposed to do, it's going to be like a few gamers and then like families on their vacation.
Right.
Like, I would be so pissed and disappointed if I booked what I thought was going to be a gaming-focused cruise, and I'm just there with Shirley and her 7 kids from Ohio, who all they play is maybe Minecraft, but they're just there for the pool and the nightclubs.
I mean, why are 7 kids going to a nightclub?
I'm just, dude, why did you go to a nightclub when we were on
I went to, like, the teen night, one night.
I'm just saying.
In my yellow jumper.
Right, but I'm saying, you went though.
Like.
You was a child.
Tried to act all cool with my Shirley Temple. I thought I was the hottest shit. I was not.
It's a shit show. It's going to continue to be a shit show. And I'm disappointed.
Anyway.
One thing I'm not disappointed in, I am kind of like, about, is did you hear what happened with Astro Gaming?
Yes, I did. I'm surprised that we didn't talk about it last week.
I was a little preoccupied last week.
Oh, with Destiny.
Just a little. Okay. But it did not escape my purview. So as you guys know, we are big fans of Astro Gaming here in the land of Ash. I have multiple Astro headsets. Panda's the same. The majority of the team has at least a set of Astros, if not more than one set, for different reasons. But recently, Logitech bought Astro Gaming. This is kind of a big old deal. Did you hear about for how much?
No, I did not hear the number.
Okay, so before I get to the number, just to be clear, Logitech has been in the gaming peripheral business for a while. They've got their G-Tech series, which, you know, I've played around with a couple of their keyboards. I have not gotten the chance to really mess around with any of their mice, their gaming mice. As you guys know, I don't do a lot of PC gaming because I don't have a PC. I have a Mac, and, you know, not a lot of people make stuff for the Mac because they think that you can't game on a Mac, but that's changing, especially with the box that Apple announced to bring VR.
It's going to
work. Yeah, to the Mac. And works flawlessly through Steam. So Valve and Apple are becoming really, really good friends. So I imagine that here within the next year or so, you're going to see a whole lot more become available on the Mac to play. Which means I'm going to be playing more stuff. But that's the reason why I haven't really had a need for a good gaming mouse. I've really had a need for a good mouse for design, because I do a lot of work in Photoshop in my day job. They really haven't been able to crack heavily into the gaming market because people just don't think of Logitech as, like, top of mind when they're thinking about gaming peripherals. So it made sense to me when I saw the news that they bought Astro, but also it really kind of made me almost like dog turn my head. So, first of all, the number's 85 million. So that sinks in for a hot second. Okay. And it was basically a way for them to try to get into the market better with the younger demographic. You know, because people my age and your age know that Logitech makes great keyboards. And they make really fantastic mice as far as being comfortable, multifunction, and just work right out the gate. But again, not what comes to frame of mind when you think of gaming headset, for example, or anything for your console, even though they had some things. So it's really their way of trying to be present on console without having to try and, like, take anybody's thunder, because it wasn't going to happen, right? When you think of console peripherals, like headsets,
I think Astro and Lucid Dream.
Okay. Lucid Sound. So a lot of people think Astro. More and more people are thinking Lucid, which is awesome. But typically your big guys are Astro, Turtle Beach, Sennheiser, and then you start breaking down into your Cytex, Plantronics, and maybe Logitech of the world. And those decisions are typically made on budget, right? Because the first three that I named are usually quite high-dollar headsets and peripherals that you're talking about. But you tend to get what you're paying for there. So Logitech acquires Astro Gaming for $85 million. Now, what I'm not clear on is, as you remember, Astro and Skullcandy.
Right.
Or so a thing.
I'm sure they must have. It might have been an acquisition. They acquired Skullcandy through their acquisition of Astro.
I'm fairly certain.
Because they would have had to, like, demerge Skullcandy then acquired them separately. There's no way. So I bet that was looped into the deal.
Now
they have base market and, like, intermediate to, you know, like, moderate to, like, enhanced. So now they have fingers in multiple markets for the tech.
Right. And so the going line is that the Logitech's G series is where Astro's coming in. And so I'm sure that the remnants of what's in the G series will become Astro branded things now. And there's a lot of cachet to that. My concern is, and again, it's been a long time since I've touched anything that Logitech's made, but I know when I pick up an Astro headset what I'm getting. And I know that what I'm getting is good for the money that I'm putting down. As far as sound quality, expandability, you know, the ability to update firmware and to customize headsets to my needs, both for my desktop as well as for my console, I know that I have that support. And I know that no matter how many new versions they come out with, then my version that I've spent, you know, $200, $300, $400 on today is still going to work 4 years down the road. Like, I'm still rocking my original A50s. You know, I've never updated my A50s to the newer set with the, you know, nice recharge base and all that kind of stuff because, frankly, the A50s that I have are still fucking rock solid phenomenal. And I interswitch them between using them on my Xbox One and my PlayStation 4. I just swap the cable over from my mix amp to each system when I want to play with it. And it works without a dream. There's no additional setup. There's never any lag. It is a phenomenal headset. So I don't need to buy another one. But I've had that headset now for almost 4 years. You know, so it was worth the investment that I made. I don't know the Logitech line well enough to know if that line has that same longevity. So it'll be interesting to see over the course of the next year as, you know, the acquisition becomes final and they start working on releasing new things under the Astro brand and even update the Astro brand, what happens? I need Astro to stay and keep its cool cachet. I need Astro to stay and keep its quality of product, because if that drops, I'm out. and I already know where I'm going. I see you, Lucid. I see you.
I want the marshmallow cans on my ears so bad. After experiencing them at PAX East this year, I was like, I was going to buy them then. And you were like, wait, because they're announcing something really awesome. And then they didn't. I'm like, I should have bought them then. Like, there's the picture of Michael Jordan crying, like, when you know you should have made the purchase.
Well, here's the deal. Okay? I am going to PAX West. You know Lucid's going to be there.
Right.
They're going to have the same deals, probably, if not a little bit better.
Let me give you
than what they had at East. Okay, so, like, we'll hit up the Venmo, and I will get your headset for you.
I want that one.
Okay, because they now will have the Xbox One headset. They should have that with them when they're in
Seattle,
which they didn't have, and they announced at East.
Earth-shattering fucking experience it was.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, it's on deck. Like, let me be very clear. I'm probably going to sell my Astro A40 TRs. One, because I need money for this trip. By the way, just in case you didn't know, esh.co/PAXDev. You can donate and help me get to Seattle so I can speak at PAXDev. And I would really appreciate it if you did. But I am going, come heck or high water. I don't care what I have to sell other than my body, because that's not legal, except for, like, donating plasma. But I ain't got time for that. Because the recoup time on that is a kind of a pain, and don't worry about why I know that. I wasn't researching it earlier this week or whatever.
Totally wasn't signing up for it until I realized how tired I'd be for, like,
yeah.
3 weeks.
Yeah, it's like a 2 week recover. And I was like,
no, and with you?
Yeah, I know.
Health already, it'd probably be three
I know,
or four. You wouldn't be straight for a month, probably.
I know, so that would, like, negate the purpose. Yep.
So
instead, let me keep my platelets, and you just hit up my GoFundMe. And give me, like, $5 or $10. Whatever you got, I'll take it. I'm so close to going, guys. Like, having it covered. Help me out. No, seriously, I will be at PAX, and you know that Lucid will be there. So I'm sure that they will have this similar deal, if not better, that they had at East, at West. So now I can get them, bring them back for you. No prob. But I am going to be selling my Astro A40 TRs. So I have no idea what I'm going to sell them for yet, but when I am able to replace them financially, it's going to be with a Lucid sound set. More than likely, the only Astros that I will keep will be my A38s, which are my travel on a plane, block everybody out headset.
Like, I need noise canceling time headset.
Exactly, because they're noise canceling, and I don't always want to hear the person next to me snoring.
I'm sorry that I snore.
No, it's okay, but I don't want to hear you snore, just like they don't want to hear me snore. But mostly what I really don't want to hear is you clipping your toenails. And that has happened to me twice.
I don't do that because that's gross.
No, I know. But that has happened to me twice flying from the West Coast back to the East Coast. It's just nasty. Yeah. It's just nasty. And just don't do it because it's nasty. That's all I'm saying. So, anyway, I'm curious to see how the acquisition changes Astro. Ultimately, I hope that it doesn't, but I'm going to keep my eye on it because, again, it's important to me. I have a lot invested in this brand. I've loved watching them evolve over the last couple of years. You know, it used to be in the industry that it was like Turtle Beach. That was a headset. That was a headset. That was a headset. And over the last few years, I've watched Astro, you know, do a really good job of strategically positioning themselves as the better headset. And, you know, They really, I feel like, won because the last E3, when I went, you know, almost every station hookup in South Hall, almost every kiosk was using Astro headsets. You know, and the years before that, it was always, you know, Turtle Beach headsets or Sony headsets, to be honest. Yeah. So it was really interesting to see that it was Astro,
oh,
like,
no,
everywhere.
It was Turtle, for a while there, Turtle Beach and Triton were having...
Yeah, like, yeah, Turtle Beach and Triton.
Set off.
Yep.
I mean, Turtle's sick-ass.
I don't even...
Their vision is stunning.
Their PR guy, though, was a dick. to me on multiple occasions, which is why we didn't.
He was a dick.
Yeah, he was. Like, I was trying to find, like, another way to say it, and I'm like, no, he's just a straight-up dick.
Sometimes people are dicks, man.
You know? Like,
they shouldn't be, but they are.
Like, the first time that I ran into him, I had an appointment with him at CES. And so, like, I had an appointment. You confirmed the appointment, so you knew I was a chick before I showed up. But when I showed up with my recorder and everything, like, he could not be bothered. He would not make eye contact with me. Like, I would ask him questions about the products, and he's like, yeah, we've got this product sheet, and, like, all the information that you're looking for is on that. And, like, you know, here, try the headset on. Like, he was just so, so disinterested in my being anywhere near him. And then I did the review, whatever, because I'm, you know, somewhat of a professional. And then I went to, I think it was either E3 or PAX. And I booked an appointment with a different PR company. And they didn't tell me who the appointment would be with. And when I got to the booth, it was the same guy. Now, my hair was different because, as you know, I never have the same hair twice at any event show for some whatever reason. It just kind of works out like the way I don't really plan it, but he didn't recognize me, but I recognized him, and, like, he was finishing up an appointment before I got there, and so I watched the end of that appointment, and he was, like, all high energy with this guy that he was talking to, and they were going back and forth, and, you know, they were talking about, you know, all the different, you know, changes to bass resonance that they've done in the headsets and whatever, and I'm like, oh, he's in a good mood, so maybe this won't suck.
Oh, and then, like, completely flipped script.
Completely flipped when I walked up. And, like, the receptionist was like, oh, hey, I'm not gonna say his name, I'll just call him Dick, because he was a dick. Hey, Dick, so, this is Rochelle, she's with Electric Sisterhood, and she's here to check out the new headsets, and da-da-da, and so she does a handoff. And she's all excited and happy like she's supposed to. The guy's like, okay, come on back, let's talk headsets. And I'm like, cool, all right, he seems like he's in a bit of it, so I'm just gonna chop up, like, that last time, like, maybe he was tired, it was, like, end of day for him or whatever. We get over to the headsets, and it's the same fucking deal. So here are the brochures that we have, the one sheets on the new headsets. You know, as you can see, they're different. I don't know if you pay attention to our headsets last year, but, like, we made these three different changes here, and, like, they're super light. Here, try on the headset. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me, dude? Are you fucking kidding me? Serious? And he's like, yeah, I don't know what you cover or whatever, and if your audience would be interested, but we do make these in lighter colors. And I was like, why? Because I'm a girl, you assume that I don't like black. Like, yeah, it, like, straight up was a dick. Just was a dick, just from top to bottom, a dick.
But now knowing that you heard his other conversation, be like, yeah, so I heard you guys made modifications.
He didn't care. He didn't care. He was so pissed that he had to talk to me. Like, that's what it is. He was just pissed he had to talk to me. Like, it was obvious that he was one of those guys who just thought that chicks in gaming were a novelty. So I hit him with the, okay, so how does this headset compare with Turtle Beach's blah, blah, blah headset? Because you know that they're coming out with this headset, which, you know, is supposed to really do a better job with, you know, high dynamic range audio and da 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 da. And he just looks at me like,
oh, shit, she knows stuff.
Right! Like, there's that moment of recognition.
Like, and oh, so fuck, I can't gloss over. She asked
me. He makes eye contact with me, and he's like, well, I don't know how technical you want me to get about this. And I was like, did you just hear what I said to you? Because I kind of know what the fuck I'm talking about. Answer my fucking question. And so, like, he starts going into this diatribe about, you know, what people can hear and what they actually can't hear. And I'm like, okay, whatever. I still have my recorder going and whatnot. And he just, like, gives this very dismissive answer, and I'm just like, okay, I'm done. Because you know what? I can actually go and eat some food instead of just be treating like shit here. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm all set, and I turn off my recorder, and I hand him my card. I'm like, yeah, I'll loop back in with, and I forget the name of the woman, and let her know when the review goes live on our site, when we talk about it on the podcast. And I'll also be part of a roundtable with Gamertag Radio, so we'll probably talk about it then. So yeah, it was a E3, because I remember dropping Gamertag. And he was like, oh, you do stuff with Gamertag? I'm like, I do stuff with everybody. And I walked away from him. And so, like, you could almost hear the, I fucked up.
Oh, shit. Right.
In his head. He was like, hey, would you like to take a headset? I'm like, no, I'm good, actually. Turtle Beach gave me two. And I just kept walking. And so he was like, no, really, really, you should take one. And I'm like, I'm okay. And so, like, the lady, the receptionist who ran it off, like, she could see that he was, like, fighting to give me a headset, and I didn't want to take one, so she knew, like, something went really wrong. Something went really wrong. So she jumped over, she's like, hey, is everything okay? Did everything work out? Like, did you get all the stuff that you need? And I was like, oh, yeah, he gave me everything I needed. And she could tell I was pissed. She's like, do you want a water? Do you want a Coke? Would you like some cookies? And I was like, no, it's okay. I'm like, I hope you have a great day. And I kept walking.
Thank you for being present in your role.
Right. I appreciate you. I want you to know that I appreciate you when I write my email and let everybody know how everything went as far as this booking goes. I'm going to have rave things to say about you. Which I did. And I did, you know, an honest review of the headset from when I had it on because I was playing some Call of Duty game. And I did, an honest write-up. But at that moment, I decided I'm not fucking with Triton. And I didn't.
You know, and that's pretty sad.
Yeah. And it was because of my experience with this dick.
And that's the sucky thing about it. Because, you know, okay, like, these are all products that are kind of in the exact same price point niche, like they're all trying to one up each other by like the smallest increment of things, but they're all at this base level. So you'd think that they'd understand that their presence, their marketing, like their direction, their approach,
it matters.
Apart. So when you and have I think someone that who does not give 110 every person, like I know that can be draining, especially if you're not used to being a front facing person.
Yeah,
but this is your job. Your job is to make whoever you're talking to believe that your shit is better than their shit.
Right.
The end. That is your job. And he failed in doing that because he did not.
He failed in doing that with women that he spoke with. Because the dude before me got the treatment.
So, like, you gotta keep your personal bias out of it. Because at the end of the day with your marketing, you are selling a product, and he's failing to sell to half, a little bit more than half of the gaming demographic now, because it's primarily women.
Right.
His company a disservice by being an asshole.
Massive disservice, because, like, after that, I went to go eat, and then I went back to the Turtle Beach booth, and I was like, look, I gotta tell you, I'm like, let me just be very real, like, I'm gonna give you guys so much love. Like, I was so pissed. And he's like, oh, thank you. I was like, because I really like your headset. I was just over at Triton. One, they treated me like shit. Two, your headset sounds better. I'm like, so I just want you to know that. I just want you to know that. And the guy was like, really? For real? I was like, yeah, obviously that dude doesn't like talking to chicks. And he's like, what? Like, the look on his face is just like, are you shitting me? And I was like, yeah, no, because the guy in front of me, like, I was so pissed. Like, I told him, and like, he was like, that's fucked up. He's like, hold on a second. He's like, hold on a second. So he goes back in the booth and just, like, gives me a bunch of t-shirts. And in all honesty, he was the guy who was like, you should go talk with Astro. So this is the Turtle Beach dude. Okay? The dude at the Turtle Beach booth was like, you should go talk to Astro next. Because I had never heard of Astro at that point. Like, and then I did. And then I was like, oh, I'm home. So, because, like, they're cool. They get it. They're audiophiles.
Those who work in the industry, like, when you work with a product, like, you know your product inside and out. So when you go shopping for a product, like, when you want to invest yourself into, like, you do the research as to, you know, what your company may not bring to that particular product. So maybe he had Astros and he's like, you know, like, we might have better this, but if you like this, you should check out, like, if you're more of a quality person or if you're...
Right.
Like,
and again, to me, that just speaks to community. Like, look, I like this. I love my company. You should check these people out, too. Because if you're really looking for a good comparison, these are the people to compare us to.
Yeah. So,
like, that's legit. So that's what I have for this week. I'm going to shut up. I'm going to drink some water. I'm going to let you talk. But, like,
all right, then.
Don't mess up, Logitech.
Take your sip of water. Hey, my first microphone when we were recording Esh was a simple USB plug-in, like one button turned it on, the same button.
Oh, I remember because I replaced that microphone like 3 times because you were hell on tech. Because as I recall, you just didn't give a fuck.
I didn't.
You would curl up cables. You would trample over them, ride over them on with your chair, and then be like, "I don't understand why it doesn't work."
Yeah.
My mic doesn't work. Can you send me a new mic?
Yeah. But yep, my first one was a simple USB plug-in Logitech, and I had that for a while before I ran over the cord, and then it's blade.
Yep.
So
I learned you cut the cord with a pair of scissors on your next one.
I thought it would be an easy fix. It's not. But hey, I was young and stupid. Now I'm just old and stupid. I have now more wisdom, but I'm not very wise. I have more smarts, but I'm not very wise. But anyway, so first and foremost, pretty quickly, my husband's awesome and surprised me with Splatoon 2 because I went to go pay for it yesterday morning and he already had it on our Switch. And I was like, "Oh, babe." And now, of course, I'm like pwning fucking noobs in Splatoon. Really quickly, I am a ninja roller. I don't know if you've ever played Splatoon, bro.
I have not played Splatoon.
But I mean, it's pretty much, you know, like, it's turf war, essentially, and you have a variety of...
I've watched people play Splatoon. Right. I just have not taken the controllers to play Splatoon.
It's fun. But, you know, so you have your... You got your massive paint coverage, kind of like defense, you know, like your rollers, your buckets, your paintbrush. You get a lot of coverage, but you don't have a lot of accuracy, so you can't go for straight up kills. Like, you're straight up defense and like area advancement, kind of. And then you've got your shooters who are good about, you know, for that accurate offensive type of gameplay. I am not great at offense. I am really great at, I have a giant roller. I try to get all the gear that makes it like me harder to detect so that I can get into the enemy territory and just light it up with my paint. Like, that's just kind of the way that I roll. You know, granted, a lot of people have had this game for about 2 weeks before I got it. So a lot of people are already way past, you know, the teens and are in their double digits in the 20s and 30s. So it's really sucky when you join a game and you're level 2 and everyone's like a 30. And you're like, shit. Like, you're not going to be... Your numbers are not going to reflect the same way. But the great thing about that is that I was always on a generally winning team. So I did level up fast as I was learning everything. But you definitely find that, or at least in my experience, I have found that when you are the lowest person in your team's lineup, the other team will generally... just because they want to be assholes, will divert two of their team members to completely and utterly gank you every chance you get. Which is kind of hard, because like I said, I'm kind of a ninja, so like I play like the long game. But I literally, in like 4 games in a row the other day, had these 2 people who every time we were in matches and they were on the opposite team, like they would team up and like come after me. And I'm like, you know, there's a whole map that you could be like dominating, but you're purposely... trying to find me, and I don't get it. Like, I don't get the mentality. But anyway, but I am playing that right now. I've only done a little bit of the story, which, I mean, the story was kind of the hidden gem of Splatoon 1, so I'm kind of glad that they're continuing with that. But they've now given us another little side thing that I want to venture into, which is kind of like a horde wave mode, where you can earn money that can give you other advancements in your weapons and stuff. So I'm really looking forward to spending some time in that. But I haven't really, so I can't really talk about that. But I'm glad to be back in Splatoon. I'm also a big fan of Marina, who is one of the new pop idols who gives you the breakdown of the news of the day and like what maps are being shown and the Splatfests and stuff. Because she looks like she's black and she's got long octopus hair like dreads and she's a DJ. She kind of makes me think of you a little bit because you like your turntables and colored hair. And she's just super cute. I dig her. But the big thing I want to talk about is a game that came out of a digital Devolver. And, I mean, it came back out in February, but I'm finally glad that I got to experience it. And the game is called Stories Untold. Bro, did you play text-based adventures back in the 80s? I can't remember if you did or didn't.
So, I, in the 80s, was playing D&D on the DL. Because that was just not something that girls did, let alone black girls did. According to our parents and closest relatives. So we did not have a computer in this house until I was in high school. So that would bring us up to the 90s.
AOL was the internet.
When CompuServe was the internet. Before we got AOL, we had CompuServe. That was some bullshit. And it never worked, which is why we went to AOL. And so I did not do a lot of text-based adventure games as far as computer ones were concerned until I actually went to college.
Okay.
For that year that I went to college.
So anyway, so Stories Untold is...
But I'm familiar.
All right. Well, like, they were kind of the ish then, because that...
They were the ish. Like, I had two friends that had computers that I could play Oregon Trail on, and I did. But I did not have one. So I wasn't playing it on the reg.
Well, you may find a tinge of nostalgia as I talk about this game then. So it's a multi-genre horror game. And I think the developer actually is No Code, but they were working with a Devolver for, I think, distribution and stuff.
Okay.
And the game features four different episodic encounters, using air quotes here, because each of the stories are different, and they have a Shyamalan Ding moment where there's a twist ending, but they're good. But they're good. Kind of like each of them have an ending like Split, which is like everyone talks about how Shyamalan Ding Dong kind of nailed it right on the head with Split, and I completely agree. But all these episodes, all these stories all tie in at the end. And, like, it's actually very neat. And, like, the evolution of your mind as you're going through these four very different stories. And then you start seeing comparisons and parallels between them was, like, really well thought out. So in Stories Untold, you play four different stories. You play The House Abandoned. You play, and I'm putting them in the order that you have to play them. Because you can't play the other four without starting with the first one. So it's The House Abandoned, The Lab Conduct, The Station Process, and The Last Session. So I'm kind of, sort of, yeah, I'm gonna spoil stuff because I can't really talk about them all without divulging something. So in The House Abandoned, and like literally like the screen is, you know, a TV and the little keyboard thing that you put the tape in to do, like, and it looks like a cassette tape that feeds into the monitor to do the whole text-based-y thing. I never played them, so this was not something I was used to, and I was like, wait, what do you do? And my husband really enjoys, because he liked to tell me it's not love, but he really enjoys text games. So he was like, you like to be scared, I like text-based games, here's our happy medium, and he was absolutely right. But in The House Abandoned, you are playing a faceless person, and they're in front of a screen and a little keyboard, and there's a phone on the wall. There are pictures of like kids, and there is a light, and you know, and literally it's called The House Abandoned. And you start off, you pull up to a house that doesn't look like people have lived in it for a while, and you have to navigate it like you would like a text-based adventure, like, you know, slash input, exit car, like you have to try out all those commands to see you navigate through the game. And you go around the corner, there's a generator, you put the generator on, there happens to be a key there, you take the key, you go in the house, you can either go into the kitchen, the living room, or upstairs. And like, the house is not terrifying yet, it's just not lived in. But like,
okay.
So like, you're like, oh, okay, I'm just, maybe I've come back from like a long trip and this is my house. Like, it seems like the person who's navigating this knows where stuff happens. But then all of a sudden, the lights go out in your house and everything goes dark. And then all of a sudden, the power starts trying to kick back on and the game has to restart. And now the game's all fucked up and corrupted. And it's scary. And like, the light is flickering. And then when the lightning strikes, you actually see like hands on the shadows that are like behind you. And it's kind of weird because you don't see any other windows. So you just think you're in a room, like a bedroom in your house, or a room that doesn't have any windows. So it's kind of weird that you're getting flashes and stuff like that. And the game's storyline is now happening to you, who is playing the game. So like, you're in the episode. And at one point it's like, oh, and the alarm goes off. And then there's a clock alarm that is like above the monitor, and it starts going off, and you have to input, you know, stop alarm. And then in the gate, like, it's so, there's so many levels of meta-ness going on. And like, I kept jumping at every freaking jump scare. Like, it was so well sculpted.
Yeah, I'm just gonna have to take a hard pass on that.
But But it's such an interesting, because, you know, I think when people think about these text-based games, like, it's usually, like, adventures with dragons, yep, with mysticism. True. And, like, the fact that they're taking, because once again, you know, we've seen some strong advancements and shifts in perspective of horror games. And, like, it was so refreshing to see them take something that people have look at very fondly because their experiences with it were always very good and exciting and, you know, and just tilt it on its head just a little bit and see how much they could subvert the nostalgia and the surrealism. But by the end, after the game corrupts in a house abandoned, like, now you go back to the house and it's completely decrepit. And the whole time, there are notes that you find, and literally every time you hold a note, it's like you really don't want to read it, but you know you have to. And, like, the game is kind of egging the player to, like, do what they would do, even though the atmosphere is clearly screaming don't at you the whole time. You know, and it's like, you really should get out of here, you really should get out of here, and, you know, you really shouldn't go upstairs, but you know someone's there, and you're kind of curious about who that is, so you're going to do it. And then, like, you do, and you... it was genius. But anyway, and that's how the game starts off. So, like, it definitely does subvert your expectation. It really does shock, brings the player into this heightened sense of awareness. And then you go into the second story, which is the lab conduct, where you are a volunteer, using air quotes once again, and you are helping these scientists do this experiment for this top secret project. And, like, it all seems pretty fine. Like, you're just entering inputs and making, like, you're taking x-rays of something. And then eventually when you subvert that, you realize it's a heart. And then all of a sudden you realize that the heart's not moving. And then you're pretty much shocking it and defibbing it and making it, you know, alive again. And then you do that. And then they make you take a drill and drill through it. And, like, it doesn't, some of it doesn't make any sense. Like, it doesn't. Until you get to the very end. And I'm skipping the station process because that's where kind of the big tilt comes in, uh-huh, about what's happening to the player in this game. But essentially, in the very last episode, the last session, the player finds out that the person from the house abandoned is the same person in the other episodes. And he has been running away from a really bad encounter that he had at the start. And he's been running and hiding from it so much that it's literally consuming his mind and it has fractured it. So things that have happened in the house abandoned, the lab conduct, and these are all, the truth is in all four of these stories, but they're not laid out for you in a very linear way. Like, you're literally grabbing at the smallest of hints of all four to make the cohesive line. And when you finally figure it all out, you're like, holy fucking shit. So, like I said, I don't want to take too much of it away, because if you happen to like text-based games, then I strongly suggest you play it. I think the biggest detraction from the game, from other people who have played it and have had put their comments, is, you know, very much like, I don't know if you played Her Story or not. Do you know anything about Her Story?
I've heard about it. I have not myself played it.
Okay, well, I mean,
but I do remember you talking about it a while back.
Well, that one had a stronger video clip. Like, you had to look through hours and hours of interrogation of this woman to piece together the story. So, I mean, kind of similar, but not exactly. But, like, I kind of got it paralleled to this game a little bit because of the fact, like, you're entering in, like, the simplest word to see what comes up and see if you can't progress your story. And then you realize that there's so many other things you have to be pulling together to make the right sentence to unlock the thing that you need to figure it out. Be as narrow-minded in your search or what you decide to use as your action in this game, because a lot of people are like, it was way too broad in some cases. Like, I really had to sit there and think about it. It was a little too finicky sometimes in terms of, like, the word. Because it's like, mm-hmm, oh, we want you to start a car. And it's like, do I have my keys? Check code for keys. Yes, you have the keys, dummy. Go to the, like, and it would mock you sometimes. Like, even though that's the way that the game worked, like, the essential base games, like, you literally had to do every action. Like, go to door, check doorknob, turn door. Like, you had to do all the steps. And in some cases, some of the stories made you do all of that work, and some of it was very, it kind of didn't make you jump through all those loops. Like, if you made the established connection, it'd be like, oh, okay, you clearly know to go outside and open the door to your car. You can just do that in one fell swoop instead of having to break it down. Another recommendation is don't play it at 11 at night. Don't play it in the dark. Don't play it in a creepy-ass house unless you're really about that. And if you do want to be scared, wear headphones. Because the audio, I think the audio cues and all the subtle things that definitely make you feel unhinged, like this team, and I think No Code literally was, I want to say, 6 to 8 people who are either married to each other or have known each other since kids out in Scotland. Like, you could tell how much passion and care this team, No Code, had in making this game, and I certainly hope to see more like this. I'd like to see survival horror or just horror scenarios in different, you know, genre of game. Like, I would love to see, you know, more point-and-click adventures. And I mean, I know RPG Maker has a ton of those, but I'd like to see someone do something a little bit more different, a different approach to it with that. And I mean, I think this was a breath of fresh air. So, like, I highly recommend it. I'm actually going to do a full in-depth. And I think right now, because I'm working on a written piece for this, so it's going to be a review, but I also think it's going to be kind of like an analysis of narrative and how making this an interactive text-based game has us. It's just interesting, and I want to pick it apart, so it's kind of like a dissection of narrative in the form of a text-based game. So I'm kind of trying to work that out right now, but there will be a written piece about this because this was absolutely stunning to me.
Obviously, because, you know, look, I know that survival and horror is your thing, but anytime that you get passionate about a text-based piece, I know it's good.
Like, it's definitely not the game I generally go to. And like,
no.
And I mean, and I thank my husband for it because he was like, I think you'll enjoy this. And I was like, I'm curious about episode 1. Like, I didn't think I'd be like, okay, let's continue this. But as soon as we did, I'm like, nope, I have to know what happened. Let's play all of them. Let me get my slinket and my security pillow. I'm ready.
And I think that that's indicative of a really good story, you know, and we've talked about that before. So that a good story will draw you into any mechanic in any game.
Yeah. So, and I mean, like,
so one more time, where's the game and where can they get it and what is it available on?
So you can get it on Steam. That's where we got it. I think we got it through a Humble Bundle.
A bundle of Humble
is what I'm going to call it.
But you keep saying Hubble, and like, I'm like, Hubble is in the freaking labyrinth.
Yeah, and this bundle, is a labyrinth.
Humble,
mind blown.
Bundle. Humble Bundle. Not Hubble Bubble Bubblegum.
Hubble Bubblegum. But you can get it on Steam. Like I said, that's where we got it. It is a computer game, though. So, like, I don't know if we'll ever see it ported over to consoles, because you have to be able to type. So it's kind of PC. But I think through Steam, it did show the Apple icon. So I do believe you can play this on a Mac.
And the game, again, is called? Stories, and how much it cost?
Stories Untold. I didn't pay for it. but I mean, this came out in like February, so like, this is not a new game by any stretch.
So it's definitely a sub-$20 game.
It is
probably
I think it's going. I think it's going for about $5. I think now. So I think it was more. I think it was 12-ish to start, but now it's like $5. So like, it's neat,
and it's mad affordable.
And it kind of gave me, like, a Stranger Things, but a little bit scarier. So if you're really into Stranger Things, like...
Which I am, and I am so excited for season 2.
Me too. So, I mean, like, if you could ever get, like, a security blanket and a pillow and friends who will be there with you when you jump at every jump scare, because there's a bunch, especially in the first mini game. But I would strongly recommend it. And like I said, I didn't even go into the full narrative. And I didn't really give anything away because I think it's definitely an experience people should have. And I would love to talk to somebody else besides my husband about it, because as of right now, I only have him to talk about it, and he was there. So
so it's a really short conversation.
I have nothing new to
remember that time where we jumped at that thing? That was scary.
Remember when you entered in that input and then I screamed like a pussy? Oh yeah, you were there. Like I can't there. I need to be
good times. To about it. Good talk.
So, but go check it out.
All right. So there you have it. We're going to wrap up this episode of our weekly podcast. If you enjoyed it, make sure that you hit up our website, electricsisterhood.com. You can find links to subscribe to our podcast right on the right side of the page. You can get that in iTunes, on Stitcher Radio, VogNetwork.com, Google Play, a whole bunch of places the podcast is available. So make sure that you check those out. Bookmark the site because we publish new reviews and previews every single week on the site created by the entirety of the team. So make sure that you check that out. Share us on your socials and let us know if there's something you'd like us to review or check out on the show or on the website. And if we take you up on your suggestion, we'll make sure to give you a shout out here on the podcast. So again, it's electricsisterhood.com. You can get our podcast, like I said, in iTunes, either on the desktop or through the podcast application on your iOS device by searching for the Eshcast and hitting subscribe. You can also, like I said, get our podcast on VogNetwork.com and check out some of the other amazing shows as well over there on the network. You can definitely get us in Stitcher Radio. You can get us in Google Play. Pretty much wherever fine podcasts are sold or not sold or parade, aggregated, aggravated. I don't even know English anymore. But if you want to get our podcast, we're out there. You can find us. Get us how you like us. If you are listening to us in iTunes, we would love it if you would leave a review for us. Let us know how much you enjoy the show or maybe don't enjoy the show. Or maybe even leave some recommendations for other people to subscribe. As you guys know, I mentioned it earlier in the show, I have the opportunity to speak at PAX Dev this year. Actually coming up this month. And I'm super excited to go, but I need your help. A little strapped for cash. Funds are quite low. I've got a GoFundMe running right now, and we've already reached the first goal, which is paying for my flight. So the flight is booked. Now we're just on to where I'm actually going to be staying. I found a couple of Airbnbs that are still available, so I need your help. So visit esh.co/paxdev. And donate what you can. $5, $10, $25, doesn't matter. I've got $1,100 to go to raise in the next 2 weeks, and I need your help. So hit up the GoFundMe link, share it all over the place, donate what you can, and I will be sharing all kinds of photos and all kinds of goodness while I'm at PAX, and it'll be because of people like you. Aren't you? I also heart all of the other members that make up the Land of Esh. I love our crew to death. They are amazing people. Starting with the homie KBD, King Baby Duck, over at b3crew.com. Talking about theater, music, anime, manga, you name it. KBD's probably talking about it. And he might be doing it in Japanese too. It happens. Definitely make sure that you check out b3crew.com and the news and reviews that they've got going on over there. A lot of really great anime stuff, as well as gaming stuff on the more independent side, and just kind of irreverent side of the world of things. And also be sure to check out the No Borders, No Race podcast, where every week KBD spins up some great tunes that he's listening to from some really awesome independent artists across the globe. So make sure that you check that out. It is an iTunes, so subscribe, leave reviews, give him a thumbs up, hit him up on social. He loves that stuff and loves what he's doing. And we hope that you enjoy it as well. Creeping up on your Wednesdays, the homie Hamsterman 2049 streams live on Twitch every evening, Wednesday evening, I should say, at 9 p.m. Eastern. Make sure that you check him out, jump in the chat, share. Let him know if there's some games that you want him to play coming up soon. He does everything from old school to the new and then back around again. You can check him out. Again, writing stuff on the Electric Sisterhood site, as well as SmashRook.com. On Thursdays, my favorite recap guy on the planet, Phil, the Issues Guy with Phil's Recap and Review on YouTube. Subscribe to that channel because Phil does some of the most enjoyable recaps I have ever had the pleasure to watch on YouTube. I'm telling you, his Westworld recaps will hold you over until the next Westworld season. So get on that. because it's a good time. And last but certainly not least, the homies over at NerdCrave.com, giving you the stuff that nerds crave, from comic books to anime, manga, and so much more. If it's nerdy, they're talking about it over at NerdCrave.com. So make sure that you bookmark the site, check them out on social, and especially their Anime Heroine of the Week series. I love that so much. So with that, it's the time on the cast where I turn to my sister and say, I'm out.
Peace, bitches. Titties.